This is the English service of Ukrainian radio.
This is the English service of Ukrainian radio. Next in line is the Ukrainian Diary, a review of the most important events in this country over the past week.
The level of violence in Donbas has lessened during the past week, with the number of separatist attacks dropping up to 2 or 3 a day. However, pro-Russian hurlings keep shelling the Ukrainian positions in Donbas, wounding and killing Ukrainian soldiers. Sometimes the number of attacks and skirmishes rises, but the general situation at the front remains relatively calm. This was also marked by the OSCE representatives in Ukraine. According to them, the number of ceasefire breaches in the crisis era is falling. This was reiterated by Martin Sidik, OSCE special envoy to the Trilateral Contact Group in Ukraine. Sidik said in Minsk on the 18th of January, following the contact group meeting, that the observers had highlighted the substantial decline in the number of ceasefire violations in recent time. Sidik said that ensuring security and conditions required for civilians in the crisis era will also be a priority for the contact group and its working subgroups this year. Meanwhile, the international organization Human Rights Watch recorded significant violations of human rights in the east of Ukraine and in Crimea. Presenting the Human Rights Watch 2018 World Report at a briefing in Kyiv on Thursday, director and researcher of this organization in Ukraine, Tanya Cooper, noted that military actions in the east continue posing a threat to the civilian population and infrastructure. According to her, international organizations continue registering losses among civilian population. Torture and arbitrary detention continue to be practiced. Among the positive steps taken by the Ukrainian authorities in this context, the head of Human Rights Watch in Ukraine called the simplification of the contact line passage for civilians. The international community keeps supporting Ukraine in its struggle against the Russian aggression in Donbas. Canadian military instructors are preparing a new stage of training for another unit of the armed forces of Ukraine. As reported earlier, Canada in March 2017 decided to extend the UNIFOR training mission of the Ukrainian military for 2 years until the March of 2019. The mission involves about 200 military instructors from Canada. Operation UNIFOR is the Canadian Armed Forces mission to support Ukrainian armed forces in Ukraine. The operation's focus is to assist them with military training. This will help the Ukrainian military improve and build their military capacity. Maxim Prauta, military speaker of the Counter-Terrorism Operation Headquarters, said,
Спільні навчання і підготовку проходять українські та канадські військові, що зміцнює оборонний потенціал України.
The Yavoriv Tactical Training Center in Lviv region, western Ukraine, hosts Ukrainian-Canadian drills aimed at strengthening Ukraine's defense capacity and improving the coordination between military units. Canada's decision to prolong the UNIFOR mission till 2019 allows to hold more professional trainings for the Ukrainian military, said Maxim Prauta.
You are listening to the Ukrainian Diary, a review of the most important events in this country over the past week.
A contentious bill on reintegrating the occupied territories of the Donbas region has been adopted by Ukraine's Verkhovna Rada on Thursday. The law on Donbas reintegration outlines the peculiarities of the state policy in the temporarily occupied parts of Donbas and is destined to secure Ukraine's state sovereignty. By vote of 280 out of 450 MPs, it passed the Parliament in the second reading, after about 700 amendments were considered by the Parliament before it passed. The bill has provoked tensions and demonstrations in the country in its fourth year of war. In it, Russia is stated to be the aggressor state and the occupation force that is to bear liability for the moral and material damage caused to the Ukrainian state on these territories. It states Russia has deployed its military personnel, instructors, advisors, and granted support for the armed formations and mercenaries on the occupied territory. Considering the bill to be a necessary political and diplomatic step in the ongoing reintegration of the occupied lands, President Poroshenko has commented on its adoption.
Підтримана моя президентська стратегія звільнення Донбасу, за що я надзвичайно вдячний всім парламентарям.
My presidential strategy for liberating Donbas has been supported, and I'm very grateful to all members of parliament for that. The importance of this event is also in the fact that it demonstrates our parliament is capable of being united. And despite the storm of criticism in the last few days from the opposition's factions side, their votes were cast in favor of the bill, said President Poroshenko. Among the critical comments regarding the bill, experts have mentioned it being more an ideological move that potentially would not provide for essential change in the situation. Donbas SOS Human Rights NGO had stated that being a norm of domestic legislation, the bill had no legal consequence for the aggressor state.
This is the English service of Ukrainian Radio and the Ukrainian Diary.
Pro-Ukrainian activists in the occupied Crimea and lots of people in mainland Ukraine joined efforts in collecting money to support the family of Volodymyr Baluch, illegally sentenced by the pro-Russian court for his patriotic position. As it was informed earlier on Tuesday, the 16th of January, a so-called court in the annexed Crimea region sentenced pro-Kyiv activist Volodymyr Baluch to 3 years and 7 months in a high-profile retrial on a weapons and explosives possession charge. In his final statement in court, Baluch reiterated that he was innocent and that the case against him will never make him love his so-called new motherland, a reference to Russia that occupied the peninsula in 2014. He suggested the accusations against him were politically motivated and part of what Kyiv and right groups say is a campaign of pressure on Crimeans who opposed Russia's takeover of the Black Sea Peninsula. The tears of the mothers of those who today are fighting for their right to be free will haunt those who are persecuting people in Crimea, Baluch said. But no matter what, victory will be ours. Glory to Ukraine, he said. Ukraine has condemned the decision of the pro-Russian court. The president of Ukraine called the trial to be rigged and unfair. Ukraine's foreign ministry speaker, Mariana Betsa, said the court's decision was illegal, adding that the occupation authorities use Ukrainian citizens as hostages of their aggression. Mariana Betsa.
На сьогодні Балух є в'язнем сумління. Це якраз людина, яка позбавлена волі саме через його українські погляди, не підтримку окупації Криму.
Presently Балух is a prisoner of conscience, sentenced for his pro-Ukrainian position, for his opposition to the Crimea occupation, for raising a Ukrainian flag over his house. In his final speech in court before he was sentenced, Volodymyr had reaffirmed his position, saying his greatest desire is to see Ukraine winning in this struggle for freedom and independence. The other thing he is anxious about is his family, his mother, who is now left without his support. Volodymyr is very much worried about her, said Mariana Betsa. She also said this is another proof of the fact that Russia is trying to eradicate the Ukrainian and Crimean Tatar population in Crimea. Baluch is one of dozens of Crimeans whom Russia has prosecuted in what right groups say has been a persistent campaign to silence dissent since Moscow seized control over the Ukrainian region in March 2014.
You're listening to the English service of Ukrainian Radio and the Ukrainian Diary, a review of the most important events in this country over the past week.
On the 18th of January, Julie Payette, Governor General of Canada, paid an official visit to Ukraine. During her first foreign visit since the inauguration, Canada's Governor General has met with high-ranking Ukrainian officials and discussed various issues of bilateral cooperation and priority areas of Canadian support for Ukraine. My colleague Anna Kravets knows more.
Meeting with President Petro Poroshenko at the Potocki Palace in Lviv in western Ukraine, Governor General Julie Payette and President Poroshenko have recalled the fact of Canada being the first Western country who had recognized the Ukrainian independence in 1991 and talked about the current situation in bilateral relations. Petro Poroshenko thanked for the Canadian everlasting supportive stance toward Ukraine. In view of Canada's chair in G7 this year, Poroshenko expressed hopes for Canada's support within the group as well. Governor General Payette, in turn, said that Canada would provide assistance so that Ukraine could continue institutional reforms and achieve economic growth. Here's Ukrainian President commenting on the results of the Free Trade Area Agreement between the countries, which took force in September last year.
Вже одразу маємо конкретний результат, бо наш двосторонній товарообіг зріс на 60%.
We are already observing the solid result of it, as our bilateral turnover gained a 60% increase, which is a clear illustration of both the activization of Ukrainian economy and the Free Trade Area Agreement appearing to be exactly what the Ukrainian and Canadian businesses had expected from it, said Petro Poroshenko. Governor General of Canada has underlined that Canada intended to continue humanitarian assistance to Ukraine and provide support in the fight against corruption and ensuring human rights. The sides have also discussed how the special partnership between Ukraine and Canada could be enhanced, particularly in the sphere of security and defense. Also in the framework of her meetings, Governor General visited the International Peacekeeping and Security Center, where the Ukrainian military are being trained within the Canadian Unifier mission. Julie Payette has also discussed the development of a center for medical rehabilitation for war veterans with the mayor of Lviv, Andriy Sadovy, according to a report by the City Council's press service.
You are listening to the Ukrainian Diary, a review of the most important events in this country over the past week.
On Wednesday, the 17th of January, the Ukrainian Film Days kicked off in Brussels. The festival opened with The Shadows of Forgotten Ancestors. This is a well-known film made in 1965 by Sergei Porojanov, based on the classical books by Ukrainian writer Mykhailo Kotsubinsky. The film was Porojanov's first major work and earned him international acclaim for its rich use of costume and color. The film also features a detailed portrayal of Ukrainian Hutsul culture, showing not only the harsh Carpathian environment, but also the various aspects of Hutsul traditions, music, costumes and dialect. Festival attendees will be also able to see the film Holdfast, shot by Yuri Kovalev. It's a full-length fantasy movie that proved to be quite a success in 2017. The festival program also includes a psychological drama by Marina Stepanska, Post Haste, and The Trial, a documentary about the Ukrainian filmmaker Oleg Sentsov, imprisoned in Russia for his opposition to Crimea occupation authorities. The film focuses on the true nature of the Vladimir Putin regime. Sergei Neretin, first deputy head of the Ukrainian State Film Agency, knows more.
Те, що Україна нарешті починає бути присутньому на фестивально-кінематографічній мапі світу, презентуючи власні нові стрічки, це не може не тішити.
Ukraine emerges on the international movie map, presenting its films at various festivals. At the end of the last year, the progress in Ukrainian movie-making was especially evident when two or three new films were released every month. It is in our plans this year to promote Ukrainian films at a number of events in Ukraine and abroad, said Sergei Neretin.
And with that we end the Ukrainian Diary, a review of the most important events in this country over the past week.
Ukrainian Radio, English Service.